You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. And we close out this hour with a look at how America's founding document, the Constitution, and the Supreme Court tasked with upholding it impact our public schools every day.
Students do have constitutional rights. The Supreme Court has protected their freedom of speech rights. They've said that they have rights regarding search and seizure. There are rights regarding religion as well. And the Supreme Court for a long time did a good job at protecting those rights. But in recent years, it's my view that the Supreme Court has done a bad job at protecting students' rights.
Justin Driver is a professor of law at the University of Chicago Law School and author of the new book, The Schoolhouse Gate: Public Education, the Supreme Court, and the Battle for the American Mind. And he argues that in the interaction of public schools and our Supreme Court is a fundamental understanding of both institutions, and that the Supreme Court has not fulfilled its duty to protect students' constitutional rights to this day.
So the title of the book is The Schoolhouse Gate. And that comes from a decision from 1969 called Tinker versus Des Moines Independent Community School District. And there, a number of students wished to wear black armbands in protest of the Vietnam War. This is in 1965, at a time when the Vietnam War still remained quite popular. And it was an open question whether students had the ability to communicate affirmative views rather than just remaining silent. Did they have the ability to inject their views about major affairs? Educators in Des Moines get wind of this plan to wear black armbands, and they say, this is too upsetting, this is too controversial. We've had a student who died in Vietnam, and this is going to sort of rile up these nasty feelings. And so the Supreme Court issues a decision by Justice Fortas, and he says there, it can hardly be argued that students shed their constitutional rights at the schoolhouse gate. And so that is a decision that probably was not popular in the country as a whole. Nevertheless, the Supreme Court issued it, and it has not done, in my estimation, a good enough job in subsequent years of building upon that basic decision. But the Tinker decision is an incredibly important one.
I want to look a little bit at where we are today, particularly in light of this year's Parkland shootings. And we're seeing more and more student activism coming out of students in schools, whether it's gun-related or not. What are these students' constitutional rights? Are they allowed to walk out in the middle of the day without being penalized if they want to protest something? I just keep thinking of young people who are so engaged right now in the political process that's directly connected to their schooling.
Yeah, the Parkland protests that have happened not just in Parkland but throughout the country is an incredibly important moment. And one of the things that I am in the book trying to resist is this idea that students don't have much to contribute to our cultural discourse. This is an idea that Justice Black actually pushed in the Tinker decision and says that in effect students are there to be seen and not heard. The more persuasive view is that students have played an important role in American society in the form of, you know, protesting the Vietnam War, the civil rights movement. To your specific question about whether students can be punished for walking out of school, it does seem, with regret, that that is permissible if there are unexcused absences, that if students are leaving and it is an actual protest and the school administrators have not authorized the students, they have the right to speak, but that doesn't mean that they can walk out of the middle of class without permission. If I were a school administrator, of course, I would allow the students to take this symbolic moment because I do think it is important to honor their ability to communicate about these important things. But there are, of course, other measures that they could take, including wearing armbands, that would not run afoul of even a sort of harsh school administration or one that is hostile to the viewpoints that they wish to express.
You know, when we think about the Supreme Court and education, I mean, the first case that comes to mind for me is always Brown versus Board of Ed. What are some of the other critical cases that you see that really have affected the development of our school systems today?
If I were to identify a couple of incredibly important opinions that too few people know about, I would look to the Ingram versus Wright decision from 1977, which deals with corporal punishment first and foremost. The single issue that I care the most about in the book is trying to raise awareness of the ongoing issues surrounding corporal punishment. Many people think that corporal punishment has been abolished. It has not. It still exists in this great nation of ours.
You know, Justin, it's interesting that you bring that up, because that was going to be my next question, was about school discipline, particularly, and when you mentioned corporal punishment, school discipline and how it's disproportionately meted out to, particularly to Black students. You know, there's been federal data on this repeatedly, I think Black girls in particular and Black boys. What is being done? And we've seen the videos, you know, of law enforcement really handling students of color in particular in egregious ways when it comes to discipline. Is that sort of where you're going with this idea?
Absolutely. You know, in 1977, there were 48 states that permitted corporal punishment. Today, there are fewer than 20. And even that number of states may overstate matters in the sense that a handful of states apply the lion's share of corporal punishment. But just because it exists in a meaningful way in only five states or so doesn't mean that the problem is not a major one. I am in complete agreement with you that the idea that students are being struck with wooden paddles in America in the year 2018 is an abomination, as you suggest. The racial disparities are ugly, and the jurisdictions that retain this practice demonstrate no indication that they are going to abandon this on their own. So I think that this is an area where the Supreme Court of the United States could get involved and say that this violates the Eighth Amendment's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment. Public school students are the only group in America that the state can strike with impunity for failing to follow orders or, you know, something like that, when they pose no threat to safety whatsoever. So I hope that this book, The Schoolhouse Gate, will raise the salience of that issue and motivate the Supreme Court to take another crack at that issue.
Justin Driver is a professor of law at the University of Chicago Law School. Justin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.